It was the most important message to me that God ever laid in my spirit. I've been trying to explain it to people for over 50 years, but I never have got it explained very well. But maybe I can put it in better words today than I ever had before. One thing, if I know anything at all, I understand my union and relationship with Christ. And I think that a lot of folks have really don't understand what their relationship and unity with Christ. I was thinking recently and praying, and there's words that came to me. And one word was us. The other word was we. And then on the opposite flip top of it was I and me. We've got more I's and me's than we've got us and we. Now, how does this get here? Jesus, as he walked down the road with them one day, they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us along the way?" And then they realized who he was, and they realized their relationship and their unity with him. So let's explain it like this just a little bit. The Bible said, "Let no division be named among you after once become saints." So the relationship now, we'll say that I'm saved. People need to get further than that. I'm sanctified. We need to get ahead of that. And filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what the church needs today. And when that happens, our relationship will be perfect with God. In our Constitution, it said, when they're writing it, to make a more perfect union. But in those days, they had God in it. They had a relationship with God, so therefore they could have a more perfect union. But there's no way to have a more perfect union today because they don't have God. So we're going to talk about me and I, we and us, and who is we and us? Who are? When the Bible speaks of we and us, who's he talking to? Is he talking to the world? No. We and us means it's joined together. Now, God said in the beginning there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 25 through verse 27, it said, "Let us make man in our own image." Now, who was us? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Now, who was them that he was saying in an image? He made man. Now, God thinks in plural. He thinks in plural. And we're supposed to think in plural. So it's me and Jesus to start with. So he made us spirit, soul, and body. So when we're spirit, soul, and body, then we have a chance to get the entire part of God in it. The Father, everyone knows he's the Father of the Spirit. He's the Father of the lights. He's the Father. So he's our Father. Once our spirit is born again, he's our Father. Then his Word comes into our soul. And that's what Jesus was talking to Peter about. Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as the wheat. But I've prayed for you that you keep the faith. See, the devil desired. And when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Now, the church needs to get stronger, and here's how it works. All right, now, let's just play like here just a minute that me and Sister Buckner are neither one saved. Come up here. Neither one of us saved. And we get married. Now, did God do that? No. God did not join us together. We liked each other and we just got married. But, are you listening to me? But then, we come to the place that I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and I have my unity with God. Then, me and her gets married and she's not saved. Now, there's some way or other that I have to get her married to Jesus, because I'm married to Jesus. How many knows you're married with Christ? That's your unity. So then we get together, then with two of us, and our unity expands. Now, while I'm over here and we're not married, I'm me and I. She's me and I. But wait a minute here. We joined up here and now we're what? Us. 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 Now, I want to get into this here. I wanted to explain this. So we're joined together with Christ, and then that makes more us's. Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost, that's us. And Peter said, when he wrote his book, he said, "To them that have obtained like precious faith with us." Now, here's what I'm believing that's happening in the church today. The devil's got a lot of people believing that they belong to the us crowd, but they belong to the them crowd. How many knows a person goes to church, and here's what they do. They say, oh boy, we really have a good church, plural. But you get a little bit soured with the church, and when you leave, they say, that church, it's all in that church. No, it's because of the disunity of us. Us. Now, we're going to have to come to the place that we realize our relationship with God. As long as we're just me. You hear people all the time, it's nothing but me and I and me and I and me. What's the matter with us? The only way we can ever speak for us, now listen, the family has to be an us family. If the husband and the wife is not us with God, then you're going to have division in the home. That's why he said to set your house in order so we can have us. Now, then everybody that you get saved down to church and you get them with the right experience with God and they've got the right experience, then they become more of us. How many gets what Peter was saying? To them that have obtained like precious faith with us. If we don't have it in church like precious faith, and joined together in the full perfect union, then if we don't have that, they're just going to become a member on the church and sign their name on that, pay their tithes, and they don't know what us is. Those that murmur and complain and grumble and growl and do all this kind of junk, they're not part of us. 1 John 2:9 said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. I'm going to tell you that sitting here right now, there's been a whole lot of folks went out from us, but they're not of us. They go out there and represent. I have people that just says, well, I know Brother Buckner, but that don't mean he's part of us. Huh? Us. You know, the us. Remember Peter and John went up to the temple to pray, you know, and on the way up there, they met the man that was lame. No telling how many years he'd been there. You know what Peter said? He said, look on who? Us. But just in the last chapter of the book of St. John, John wasn't divided, but Peter was divided. And Jesus had said in the scripture before that, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as the wheat, but I've prayed for you that when you're converted, you'll strengthen the brethren. You'll become part of us, in other words. A strengthening quality. Just recently, I told some people they was talking about this tore up and that tore up and something else, and they was trying to get me involved in a little bit more of the tear-up. I said, wait a minute here. God sent me to bring things together, not help tear it apart. And every Christian should be able to strengthen their brethren if they've got an us experience. Us. Can you look back through your congregation, preachers, and say, all of them are part of us? But we get up on the platform in the pulpit and say, thank God for this good crowd that we've got. But we're lying through our teeth because they're not part of us. They went out from us. Now they have to obtain like precious faith with who? With us. They have to agree with us. You can't build a church out of division. And you cannot build a marriage in division. It's got to fall in line the way God wants it to fall in line. I hope I'm getting this over because this is what God gave me years and years ago, and I've not been able to explain it, but I believe that I'm getting to where I can explain what us is. And who are we? In other words, I'm married to Christ. I realize my relationship with Him, and I realize that my wife and we have a perfect relationship because we're us. Not just us together, but us together with Christ. And Christ is part of the us solution because He's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost is God. So the Father is the Spirit, and Jesus is the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And it's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. And Jesus said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. I'm going to do what you say because I'm with you as us. Every family, if they've not got to act together, they ought to get around the dinner table once or twice a week. one. How many knows we have to be trained to love? We have to be taught to love. We talk about love, but we're not teaching love. But if you get around the dinner table every day and if there's any odd against it, teach each one of them to go to the other and say, I love you. I love you. And you'll train yourself to love by saying it. How many know by preaching the word, we train ourselves to obey the scripture and we learn more of the scripture just by preaching the word and saying it. Saying it. And then you do it. Then we go to whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him to a wise man. Matthew 7:24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And when the rain descended and the flood came, the house stood because it was builded upon the rock. What did he tell the seven churches? All seven of them got the same. You know, there was different things wrong with them and they had different good points, but he gave them all the same message. Every one of them, when he's dealing with them, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Now, it's not the ear, this natural ear, that hears that. Somewhere deep down inside of man, there's a spiritual ear that hears what the Spirit has to say. I don't know about you, but I've got that spiritual ear. I hear what the Spirit has to say. I don't just go by what I think and what, because I'm married in the spiritual realm with Christ. I mean, him's got a thing going because he tells me what he wants me to know and I tell him what I need. And he meets my need according to his riches in glory. You know why? Because of the relationship that we have with Christ. And if we don't have that relationship, you can preach to these people till you're blue in the face. You can preach till you're wore out. You can preach till you're hoarse. You can get them shouting once in a while. They jump up and down. And if they don't have the relationship of us and we, they will not amount to a hill of beans. And we're going to have to learn that. It's us. Now let's go into this a little bit deeper. And I'd like to turn our Bibles. Now, how many understands who us is? How many knows who we are? Now he's not talking to the world, but John was talking to the world. When he said they went out from us, but they were not of us. How many of you pastors, you've had someone went out from your church, but they wasn't of you because they went out with a mad, angry, gossipy tone. So they went out from us? Well, I've had a lot of them went out from us. They're mad. I don't know what they're mad about. They still call me when they need prayer, but they don't have nothing to do with me any other time. When things gets rough, they want some help. So if it's an us thing, then us ought to be together all the time, shouldn't we? There should be no division. There should be perfect unity if it's us. But you get somebody in there that's not us. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1 says, to them of like precious faith, who have obtained like precious faith with us. Then you can drop down to verse 3 and it said, according as his divine power, he has given unto us, us. Now, who is it us? Now, these new denominations and New Age movement churches, they preach it like it's for everybody. No way. No way. Listen to what he said. Now, he said, them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Huh? Do you think these people that's honky-talking, night-clubbing, living like the devil, you think they're part of us? Well, they might have went out from us. But then we go down to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Now, it's according. Now, we've obtained like precious faith with who? How many? Now, you see, you already forgot. He's preaching to those that have obtained like what? Precious faith, like Peter and John had, with us. That's who it's doing. Then he comes on down and tells what us must do. Then it's according as his divine power, he has given unto who? Us. He has given unto us all things that pertain to what? Life and godliness. So he don't give all things that pertain to the devil's work. He gives unto us all things that pertains to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge, our knowledge. Wake up, church. We need some knowledge. Wake up, church. We need some wisdom to go with it. wisdom and knowledge is the beginning. Huh? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and also knowledge. According as His divine power, He has given unto us. I want to establish that. I don't want you to go out here and say, He gave it to, you know, people, thousands of them going to church in some of these big churches, and the preacher got up and said, now He has given unto us all things. And there they said, bunch of hypocrites, dead at a doorknob, look like the devil, act like the devil, talk like the devil, think like the devil. God thinks about us, and we need to think us. We need to get our minds straightened out. Who is us? Those that have obtained like precious faith. And John says, those that love Him. He's given to us that love Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll get in that in a few minutes. I've got this message in my heart, and I want to get it over to you, because we're not dealing with everything in the world. The only way we're dealing with them is trying to get them to become part of us. And the only way they can become part of us is to get themselves sanctified, saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. If you're a Holy Ghost preacher, you're going to expect Holy Ghost people. If you're a preacher that preaches the Word, you're going to expect Word people. If you're a people that's in the us crowd, you're going to expect to train your people up to be us. Boy, I'm glad I'm in with the us crowd. You know what started with me and Jesus? Us. Just me and Him. It boiled over into hundreds of people, and now thousands of people. Preachers that come up under my ministry have went out all over the nation. They preached the gospel. But I never was able to explain a lot of it to them, as I'm hoping that you'll understand here this morning. And if you're not acting like us, then you need to change your ways. That's what it said in Haggai, consider your ways. He said, go up on the mountain, and you go up there and get some wood, and you bring it down here, and build me a house. Build the house of the Lord. And He said, then I'll be with you. Then you'll be part of us. But here, where you know what you're doing, you're dwelling in your sealed houses. You've got a fancy home to live in and everything, but God hasn't got a house yet. Everybody wants to be comfortable in their home, and they should be. Lord, I love to sit in my home, me and my wife, and talk the scriptures, and we pray and seek God, and we enjoy each other's company because we enjoy His company. He's in the midst of your storm. He's in the midst of your problem. He'll never leave you or forsake you as long as you don't leave Him. His name is Emmanuel, and that means God with us. But it's not everybody He's with, it's with us. He's not with the crowd and them crowd and the I crowd and the me crowd. He's with us. You know what? I don't want to be like me anymore. I want to be like us. That doesn't mean like everybody, but us. Us who have obtained like precious faith. Huh? Let's go a little bit further here. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. According as His divine power, He has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called. How many thinks He called all the sinners out? He's calling all right, but they're not called. He, according as His divine power, He's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through what? The knowledge of Him that has what? That has called who? Now, if you ain't up to us, don't expect glory and virtue. Somebody said, oh, I'm expected to see the glory of God. A little whiskey won't hurt me. A little bit of this won't hurt me. A little bit of that. Don't expect to see the glory of God. He's only going to show it to us. And when He chose the glory, we change into the same image. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all, that's not everybody, but we all, with open face, beholding us in a glass, what? The glory of the Lord, what happens to us? We're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what we need. We need something that changes us into His image from glory to glory. Somebody said, what are you going to do? Said, those that sit around and gripe, well, they're just going to produce more groaners and complainers. They need to either get in or get out. They don't belong to the us crowd. They ought to go over to the they crowd. They. Remember what it said there? According to his divine power, he's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So he's called us. Now, let's go back over here again here to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Somebody said, I ain't heard preaching like this. Well, we need to hear a lot of it. Listen to what he said, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How many knows that? All right. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. There's many Antichrists back then, and so is it now. Now listen to what he says in 19. Here he separates them. They went out from us. Where'd they go? They went out. I'm telling you, you preach the word and preach it good and solid with the us spirit and everything. I'm going to tell you, they're either going to get in or get out. I remember times when a person come in the house of God and they was unsaved, left saved and filled with the Holy Ghost sometimes. But they could not assemble with the congregation of us. But now they can come in and feel comfortable and enjoy the music. I said that was a good message, which half of it was jokes and stuff. God help a preacher that has to tell a joke to get a congregation. Somebody said, well, he's afraid he'll drive people off. Well, sure you're going to drive them off. And all you're going to have left is the us crowd and the we crowd. But the us and the we crowd could really get something done then because they got rid of that them. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Oh, boo-hoo. I wish they hadn't left. I'm going to go call them back in. Reminds me of a boy. I go back to my boyhood. I learned a lot when I was a boy. But one day I was out there in the yard over in the wilderness here. I was raised about 40 miles over here in the wilderness on Big Hurricane Creek. And one day I was out in the yard and I killed a snake. And I left him lay there in the yard a little while and I finally took him and threw him away. And pretty soon I looked and here was a cat dragging this snake back. And I took it off again and then the cat went and got it again and brought it right back to me. That cat thought I needed that snake there. Huh? I didn't think I needed it. I locked the cat up till the snake rotted. I took him back out. See, you got to get rid of this stuff. You don't want to join it. You don't want to have it sitting around. It wasn't of us. How many knows that snake wasn't of us? I didn't want it around. My grandmother didn't want it around. It wasn't of us. I guess the cat liked it. And we got a whole lot of cats in the church today. You know, how many knows that? People are cat crazy and dog crazy now. You can see somebody going down the road, they got six dogs in there. Some little old lady one day, we went up and the dog had his feet upon the steering wheel when she pulled in. And I said, that woman's got that dog's up there and it's got him in the driver's seat. And he paws up there on the steering wheel. Well, when she got out, she had five more in there just to go to the grocery store. I'll tell you what, I'd have took us to the grocery store and left the cats and the dogs at home. You can kill a baby, but if you kill a cat or a dog, I'll tell you, in trouble. The Humane Society and all other kind of societies is going to get after you because they like these kind of things better than the things of God. And that's the reason it is because they're not part of us. You know, Congress has got the place it ain't part of us. Both of them. Never can get a president that's part of us anymore. So we can forget the laws and we can forget the Constitution and we can forget all that. But I'll tell you one thing, there's a Constitution of God that's drawn up and it tells us what to do and how to establish our church and how to do this and how to do that. And if we don't fail God and we stay with us, I'll tell you what, we're going to have a revival breakout And that's going to shake things. And that's what I've preached all my life. Oh, hallelujah. I begin to feel like us. I feel like he's coming down. I feel like the Spirit of God is coming down in our hearts and in our lives right now. Raise your hands and give him a praise. We are plural. Now, I want to establish this again, that God thinks plural. He thinks plural. You know why? Because he's three in one. And he's thinking about you because you're three in one. You're in one fleshly body. Now here's the situation. We have a soul, and I want you to picture this. The soul is our mind, will, and emotion. Then we have an inner man, which is a spirit. Then we have this flesh. Now whichever one that our soul joins overthrows the other. Now if we get fleshly, and our soul begins to think fleshly, and we join our flesh with our soul, we have fix the spirit where it can't move in you. How many got that? Because the soul and the flesh became us. Us. Now us will control. And you know they've got where they've controlled the spirit in the church anymore, so this church don't have no spirit. Somebody said, we don't want this in there and we don't want that in there. Don't worry. They won't have it in there because it's not in there anymore. It's not part of us anymore. They went out from us. I've got several preachers, you know, that went out from us when this New Age movement went, you know. Boy, I mean, they got in this money thing and all this fleshly stuff, you know. Money, you know, money's only part. That's a blessing, but that's just part of it. That's just a little dab of it. They're the things that he's prepared for them that love us. And they got into that. Oh, they're driving Cadillacs. I'm still driving an old Impala. But I've got a relationship with God. And him and I, you know, there was a song come out years ago with kind of a song, but it makes some sense. Me and Jesus has got our own thing going. Huh? It's us. Me and him. We don't have to tell anybody what it's all about. We got our own thing going. Have you got your own thing going with him? Do you listen to the garbage that people spread? Do you listen to the garbage on the television? When it gets to be garbage, you have turned off. Because it doesn't belong to us, does it? Doesn't belong to us. I want to turn the Bibles to 1 Corinthians. Ain't I long-winded? I mean, like Mitch Stock. I'm messing with you. I'm messing with your mind. That's what they say. They're messing with your mind. Don't let them mess with your mind. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. How many know who you are now? Are you part of us? Are we part of you? Recently, in the last couple of 3 years, people begin to come to us and say, we want to be part of that. You know why? Because our spirits need to breathe. And that's the way it's going to start. I want you all to help me with this because I'm seeing what God's going to do, and I want everybody that I know of to have part in it if they can become part of us. Somebody said, you mean you have to join Bible Way? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about us in the spirit. Us that are joined together in the precious faith. Us that has all the same faith. What is your faith in? Is it in Christ? Is your relationship with Christ? Do you do what he says? Is his word precious to you? Now here we find that Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll begin with verse 9. Now listen, he's talking about us. Don't get it confused with everybody's got it. I got a magazine from a fellow here a while back, and he said, you got it all when you got born again. Well, I didn't know that. I had to get sanctified. Then I had to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Didn't you, Brother Myers? That wasn't all of it. No. We had to get on through the doors to be like precious faith with us. Man, listen to what he says here. Now he's talking about us. Verse 9. But as it is written, now the natural eye, that's not, don't think you're going to see. I see people that's, they're seeing this and seeing that, you know. They saw angels. I don't doubt that. I've seen angels and they saw this thing and they saw that. And you know, I'd rather just see Jesus in my soul and be us with him. You know, I've been in the ministry 55 years. I've seen about everything. But I learned one thing a few years ago. Don't never say that you've seen it all. Because they'll hatch out with something else. I've seen them shove them down, push them down, and say, oh, boy, didn't God do that? God didn't do that at all. Somebody with a strong arm done it. Can you say amen? God didn't do that. God don't go around shoving people down. I'll tell you what I've seen. I've seen nearly the whole congregation fall under the power and nobody touched anybody. I've seen people, I preached a revival at St. James, Missouri in 1965, and God had me to tell, I was a young preacher then, didn't know very much, still don't know a whole lot, but I know my relationship with God. But I told the people, God, at God's instruction, that God's going to start healing you people while I'm preaching. I'm not going to lay a hand on you. Well, the next night I came, and God didn't do it. I preached. I felt a little bit troubled. And I went back and consulted God again, and he said, yeah, it's going to happen. So I went that night, and about the middle of my sermon, there was an old man had braces on his back, braces on his legs, and he had braces on his neck everywhere. And he jumped up, and he began to jump up and down, and he began to throw them braces away. And in that revival, we had 13 miracles, 13 miracles, while I was preaching, never laid a hand on them. You know what done that? Us. Some of the people got in the us thing and began to have the faith. How many know Jesus said he couldn't do the mighty miracles in his own country because of their unbelief? We got to get some belief in the church. And the way we get that, we have to obtain that like precious faith with us. We got to get it back together. It's got to be us. Quit fussing around with the devil. Rebuke him. Quit fussing around with each other. You can rebuke each other too. God's prepared for some great things for us. How many's glad you're us? I want you to lift your hand if you say, I'm glad I'm one of the us crowd. Now let's lift the other hand and say, I'm going to continue in the us crowd. I'm going to leave this camp meeting and that's what I'm going to talk about us. I'm not going to talk about the devil. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about us together and us together. Where two shall agree and touch anything, the Bible said it will come to pass. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. You know, I was sat back there a while ago and you're up here singing and I almost felt like shouting, but I couldn't do it because I had to listen to us. Me and the Lord, I don't mind. But he spoke to my heart. He said, tell the people, this might very, very well be the best camp meeting that was ever held on this campground. And it may not be a large crowd, but it'll be us. We'll go home in our spirit with the power of God and the glory of God. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Us. Faith with us. Now, let's look at the promises to us. Why should we ever complain? I'm not complaining about those folks' airplanes and all that stuff. I've got far more than that. They ought to have what I got because I've got a relationship with the Master. Not just somebody, but the Master. And I know what he's saying, and I know how to help people that needs help. You need to be helped in with us. And the only way you get there, you got to straighten up. Listen to the promises. And Pete, read them because I have to wipe my eyes. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, that's the natural, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that who? Now that's us. You cannot be us with us. And not love God. You cannot love God and not love your brother. You've got to get in the us crowd or you'll get out sometime down the road. You'll not make it. Now listen to what he said. To them that love him, that's us. But God hath revealed them unto, oh, so there's a eye and an ear that reveals. You can't see it. The ear hadn't heard it. I'm not getting it. But there's a revelation thing there. On the inside, God hath revealed them to who is us? Them that love him? Them that have obtained like precious faith with us? But God hath revealed them to us. That's why some folks, God is no respecter of person. He's not a respecter of me. If you get your life lined up and you get a relationship with God, you can have things revealed to you. Come on, can you say amen? We don't have to buddy up and buddy up this and buddy up that and all these kind of things. I've got a buddy in heaven that has all power in heaven and earth. Come on, he's my elder brother. They're revealed to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now see what he says. Verse 12. Now we, that's us. We is it joins together too. We and us, that's plural. God thinks plural. See, God's not thinking about a church with two or three in it. It takes about two or three to get it going. Before two or three gathered together, he's in and he's there.
But he's just thinking about a real plural church with a lot of crowd. But it has to be done the right way. And I'm telling you, I don't know of hardly any place that's doing it right anymore. They say, well, whatever. People going to church there, they say, oh, is it church? Another church night? Oh, me. That's not us. Us says, wow, another church service. Woo! Glory. That's us. But I don't feel like it. Let me tell you something. Do you think I'm preaching? I didn't feel like this 2 hours ago. My flesh didn't feel that. But I got together with us, and now I'm feeling fine. Me and him, the Father, the Word, and what part of you, however many you are in the us crowd. And I see several of you are. I can look at your countenance and I can tell that you've joined us. And if wasn't us when you got here, you can be us before you leave. But us means like us, likeness. Now, let's go a little further here. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. See, that's the spirit of the world that's got people messed up in church. The spirit of the world. We've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Now, listen to this. That who? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. See, a lot of folks just don't know what they've got. You've got it, but it's hid in something under something. And you don't want to get rid of the grouchiness and gruffness and all that kind of thing because you might want to use it after a while on somebody. But see, I got another scripture for you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we have such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before. So us has got to run. Come on, can you say amen? I want you to picture yourself running, 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 running. Let us run this race with patience that is set before us. Lay aside every weight. Hebrews 6 and 1 said, therefore, leaving the principles of Christ, be sure you've got the principles, because the principles of Christ is for us. Therefore, leaving the principles of Christ, let us go on. Let us. Come on, say us. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance and faith towards God. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we are to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You can backslide. That's also was in that magazine that the fellow had. You can't backslide. After you've once been filled with the Holy Ghost, you can't backslide. He's not part of the us crowd. Huh? I hope he changes. I love the brother. I really do. He's a fine preacher in most ways, but he's got two or three doctrines that just don't fit with us. I preached this message up at the Seventh-day Church 2 weeks ago. And I won't tell you what, those folks really got something out of it.
The pastor got up and he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I never knew there was so much in there about we and us. And he said, facts of the matter is about us. And I didn't realize who us was. You know, we need to get our eyes open. Open the blinded eyes. Come on. God is dealing with the church. Open your eyes. Begin to live. In Him we live and we move and we have our being. It's not a dead thing, it's a living thing. Somebody said, but I've sinned, I've got away from God. Forget it. If God forgive you, and somebody said somebody else is going to condemn me, forget it. They probably need something else to get them back to us.
You know, the father, he had a son, and the son went off and spent all he had, wound up in a hog pen. After a while, he got to thinking us us thing. Huh? And here I am. You know what he said? Here I am in this condition here. I'm so hungry I could eat the husk. Now, that ain't the talk he had when he left home. Give me my portion that belongs to me. And let me go my way. And I'll really do what I want to do. But you find him down there in the hog pen, and he begins to get the right thing, us. He said, here I am so I could eat the husk of the swine.
And in my father's house, over there where I ought to be with them, where us could get together. In my father's house, there's plenty of food even for the servants. I don't have no shoes on my feet. I don't have no robe. I've lost my ring. And I know what I'll do. I'll go and say to my father, I've sinned against heaven and you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. But the father said, yes, you are. My son that was lost is alive. My son that was dead is alive. My son that was lost is found. Go get the fatted calf. Go get the robe. Go get the ring. Go get the everything had put back on him. And then all of a sudden, he was back in the us crowd. In the us crowd. The elder brother, he got a little bit grumbly and got out of the us business. And father said to my son that was lost is found. And he said, I'm giving him the fatted calf, all right. But he said, all I have is yours. You just don't know what crowd you're in. You're in the big us crowd. Everything I have is yours. That calf is yours. The barn's yours. The field's yours. The calf is yours. The robe is yours. Everything I have is yours. Don't be fussing. Just join in with us in the party here. We're having the Holy Ghost revival, and I want you to join in with us. Woo! Glory to God. Join us. I ask you this afternoon, church, go home and join us. Here at Donovan, we're doing something for God. There's not very many that wants to, but we're doing it. Join us.
I'm going to have to quit. I can't find no place to quit back here. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we... Now the reason we got it, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Did you know, I'll guarantee you that not one out of 10 people in goes to church today knows what God's given them. They have not surveyed it. They've been watching all the problems. They watch everything that's wrong, but they've not surveyed what belongs to them. Do you know what belongs to you? What the elder brother said, all he has is thine when you're in us, with us, crap. When it's we, the minute that you get over to I, you know, somebody may hurt your feelings. Well, I'm hurt.
Well, we're rejoicing. Count it all joy when men speak evil of you. Somebody said to me, did you know somebody's talking about you? I said, well, good. I must be on the right track. Beware when all men speak well of you. Don't complain. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. That means to repeat it. Which things also we speak, not as the words of which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
God wants us to come on up to the judgment. Now here we're going to get into our judgment, and we don't even know how to judge. I really hope I'm getting this over, and I believe I am. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man, the carnal man, cannot. Now, mark that down. They cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Number one, they don't even know what they are. Number two, they can't receive them anyway because the carnal man can't. It has to come through the spirit realm. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So he can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. See, my natural man says, you're tired. And I jump up and say, you slothful, fleshly thing, you. I'm vibrant, not tired.
I'm victorious, not defeated. I've got power. I'm not operating in the flesh. We have to talk to our flesh. Romans 12:1 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That brings us into us. Then when we get into us, verse 2 said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God."
The perfect will of God. The us category. You know, there's the us factor and the we factor. Then there's the I factor and the me factor. You know, me's got most of the things wrong, messed up with all of us. It's our own self. And we want to lay it off on somebody else. If it wasn't for soul, oh, come on. I've seen people sitting, soul sold up and everything. And I went to a church to preach one time, and I noticed that there was one bunch of them over there and another bunch over on this side, just as far as they could get. And I went back to the motel, and I said, "Oh, my Lord. Oh, I could hardly preach. Huh? It seemed like all hell was down there." God said, "Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season." That's what he told Paul. "Reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine." I'd done that 2 or 3 nights. Pretty soon one lady, she come running across the aisle, met the other across the aisle, and they began to hug. You know, when they began to hug, everybody got up and left their seats and went to each other across the aisle. You talk about revival. We had revival because they got back in the crowd with us. They got back in the crowd with us. I've had some great experiences. It wasn't me, it was God. I realized it. I had to work with him because it's us. But it wasn't me doing it. It was us. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." But listen to verse 15, and here's what you've got to have. "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself just judgeth no man." We're not going around trying to judge people, but we make judgments. How many knows everybody makes judgments? You make all kinds of judgments every day. You're driving down the highway, and a car comes across the yellow line and heads directly before you, you have to make a judgment there. If you don't make the right judgment, you're going to be dead. So we make all kinds of judgments, and we don't realize we're making those judgments. But we have to make that judgment. Is this right? How do you judge things? By the Word? By the Spirit? By the Spirit and the Word, not by what the flesh feels. You don't judge with the "I feel." Just for instance, "I don't feel like going to church tonight." You made the wrong judgment. You know what made it for you? The flesh overruled the spirit and the soul. The flesh overruled. But I don't feel like. And that's probably the very night you go out there and really have a time with the us crowd. Get delivered, blessed, but you go out how you feel. "And I ain't going down there no more. I don't like old so-and-so." Well, I'll tell you what, when you get in the us crowd, you'll love them. Next verse. "For who hath known the mind of the Lord?" Who's known the mind of the Lord? "That he may instruct him. But we have the mind of" what? I have that relationship with him. And it's my job to keep his mind, lose my mind, and have his mind. That's a relationship. And if I don't have the mind of Christ, I'm not going to know how to judge anything. And I have lots of things passed by me to judge. What do you think of this? Well, I have to say something. And I have to have the mind of Christ. So the good thing to ask them is, "How's your mind operating?" That's when you find out. What do you think? Huh? Because they're just ready to spew it. Huh? So let's look at that. "For who hath known the mind of the Lord?" Ain't nobody knows the Lord's mind. "That he may instruct him," not to instruct him. But we have the what? Whose mind do we have? Now, who has that mind? Does the world have that mind? I want to get this over to you. Does the world have that spirit? Who has it? We, us, have the mind of Christ. You know, I get up shouting nearly every day somewhere or other that I've got the mind of Christ. I thank God because at 86 years old, my mind is still bright. It's illuminated with God. I can remember. And I'm part of the us crowd. Now, the us crowd goes far away. We're not the only ones, but somewhere else in every city, maybe, or state, there's other little groups gathered together like us. We all have the mind of Christ, and everything that we do is done with his mind, not our mind. Not by what somebody thinks. Let's take a vote on it. One of the biggest splits I ever seen in the church. Said, we're going to put in a new carpet. Let's take a vote. Well, I want red. Somebody else said, I want blue. None said, I'd rather have something else. And the us crowd said, I don't care what color it is, just go ahead and lay it. There's lots of little dividing factors that will divide us and get us in the wrong mind. Philippians 2 and 5 said, in closing, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Which tells me something, that we have to allow it to be in us. Sister Buckner, you want to come, maybe sing a song? I want to thank you this evening because you have been very, very attentive to the Word this afternoon. And I trust and hope that I've maybe found a way to expound this that you can understand what we're talking about. Yes. I've preached on these things for years. I've started preaching on the kingdom of God when in my early ministry, it seemed like God gave me lots of revelation, but in my elder years, it seemed like He's given me more revelation. But I remember when I started preaching on the fivefold ministry, everybody said, that's false doctrine. Now they're all preaching it. I remember lots of things that we preached back then. Even back then, 54, when I first started, early in the ministry. And today, they've done away with a lot of it. They're not following the Spirit. Either they're not following the Spirit or I'm in the wrong spirit. I'll leave that judgment to you. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I am a follower of Christ. If I'm a follower of Christ, you can follow me. But if I'm not, you ought not follow me a step. Sister Buckner, maybe somebody wants to pray. Maybe somebody needs God. Maybe somebody needs something from God.
When I left my father's house, I was well supplied. I made a mistake and I did wrong. Now I'm dissatisfied. I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home and acknowledge I've done wrong. I'll go back to my father's house. I'll fall down on my face. Say that I'm unworthy. I'll seek a servant's place. I'll go back to my father's house, the place I love so dear. For they have plenty to eat, and I'm a starving here. I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home and acknowledge I've done wrong. Father seen him coming, he met him with a smile, threw his arms around him, this is my wandering child. Father said to his servants, go kill a fatty calf, invite both friends and relatives, my son's come home at last. I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home and acknowledge I've done wrong. Banquet's in procession, all sorrow has passed. Father's heart was filled with joy, his son's come home at last. The elder son was jealous, I believe I heard him say, gave my brother his portion, I never went away. Father said to his elder son, you've been both good and kind, not a calf I'll give unto thee, but all I have is thine. I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home and acknowledge I've done wrong. I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home and acknowledge I've done wrong.
Let's praise Him this morning. Oh, I feel the touch of the Master's strength. through this weary some land. Footsteps would falter to wide the Gulf to Spain. Just wait for the touch of the master's strong hand. Oh, I feel the touch of the master's strong hand. It's leading me on through this weary footsteps would falter to wind the Gulf to Spain, except I've been touched by the master's strong hand. If you search for every answer and you cannot comprehend those, oh, everyday burdens seem to fall without end. Whipped in life's room full of empty, there to help. Just wait for the touch of the master's strong hand. Let's stand and worship me while we sing this. Oh, I feel the touch of the master's strong hand. And it's leading me on by the master's strong hand. Sing it with us. Oh, I feel the touch of the master's strong hand. Do you feel him this morning? And it's leading me on through this weary steps would falter to wind the Gulf to Spain, except I've been touched by the master's strong hand. If you search for every answer and you cannot comprehend those, oh, everyday burdens seem to go without end. With life's room full of empty, there too helpless ye stand. Oh, I
like I do. I feel like doing something this morning. You that have a need in prayer this morning, or if you need a touch from the Master's strong hand, I know there's some here this morning that needs a touch. Maybe to stand in for someone, or maybe for yourself. And I want Brother Fisher, Brother Williams, all these ministers come up, and they're going to lay hands on you. Brother Buckner, Brother Lubring, Brother Cagle, all these ministers. If you need a touch this morning, stand in line, would you? And expect a miracle this morning. Here, Brother Buckner. Oh, I feel the touch.